Hey, welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at leadership. But not just any leadership. We're going to be looking specifically at leadership in international disaster management. And for this deep dive, our source material is going to be an excerpt from DisasterWise. So, are you ready to get into it? Let's go.
It's funny. The source actually starts off by saying that leadership is one of those things that, like, we all know it when we see it.
Yeah,
You know,
we
like,
can really define it.
yeah, it's hard to define, but we know it when we see it. And DisasterWise makes this really interesting comparison to a book about sled dogs. Have you ever heard of a book, The Cruelest Miles?
No.
So it's about the Serum Run to Nome. And the point they make in DisasterWise is that a good lead dog actually embodies a lot of really important leadership principles.
Interesting.
And I thought that was really fascinating, you
Yeah.
know, thinking about that in terms of leadership.
So are they saying that, like, giving orders isn't really leadership?
Well, they're emphasizing that vision is really important.
Okay.
So think about, you know, the story of Balto. Balto, the lead dog in that Serum Run to Nome.
Right.
He wasn't necessarily the smartest dog or the fastest dog,
Right.
but he was the most reliable and the most determined to get to where they needed to go. And so he set the pace for the whole team, not by barking orders, but just by, like, doing the thing,
Right, like he was embodying that.
embodying it.
Interesting.
And that's really what they're talking about in DisasterWise, you know? They say that vision gives a team its purpose.
Okay.
And that purpose is what fuels the journey.
I like that.
But obviously, leading humans through something as crazy as international disaster response, that's a whole other thing than leading a team of sled dogs.
Yeah, I would think so. So, what are some of the challenges that leaders in this kind of field face?
Oh my gosh, so many. Just imagine, like, the scene, you've got these teams coming in from all over the world, each with their own languages, their own expertise, their own ways of working. And
Wow.
then you throw on top of that all this pressure of this constantly changing situation.
Oh, yeah.
Staff turnover is high.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really tough job.
Oh, yeah. It's demanding. And, you know, the source makes this point that it's not just about coordinating the response itself, but it's also about building and maintaining a really strong team.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. They said that even the people who lead specific areas of the response, like the cluster coordinators, they may not actually have the background you'd expect.
Right, like you might have a lawyer heading up the shelter cluster, or
Cool.
like a nutritionist leading the water sanitation and hygiene efforts.
Really?
Yeah, so it's not always about being the, like, top technical expert.
Right.
It's about being able to bring people together, facilitate collaboration, and guide the whole team towards that shared goal, you know?
Okay.
Like we were just talking about that vision.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like we're talking about leadership, not necessarily management, or is there a difference?
Well, that's, you know, that age-old debate, the leader versus manager thing.
Right.
And DisasterWise, actually, they kind of poked fun at this article that was in The Economist, and it was questioning whether leaders are kind of sexier than managers.
Sexier.
Yeah, it was like a funny, provocative title. But DisasterWise says, hey, look, managers and leaders, they both have their own strengths.
Okay.
Managers, they're great at creating order, solving problems. They love predictability. Leaders, on the other hand, they're a little bit more comfortable with chaos. You know, they embrace change. They're okay with navigating the unknown.
Okay. So it seems like effective disaster management really requires a blend of both of those approaches.
Absolutely. You need that manager's organizational skills and the leader's ability to inspire and adapt.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, but the source also mentions a difference between humanitarian coordination and disaster management. What is that about?
Yeah. And that's where those visual cues of authority can come in. You know, in disaster management, you often have this hierarchical structure, like ranks, badges, uniforms.
Right, so it's clear who's in charge. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whereas humanitarian coordination tends to use terms like coordination, facilitation.
Okay.
It's much more consensus driven.
Got it.
So the ideal leader in this field, they've got to be adaptable. You know, they've got to be able to navigate all these different organizational cultures and leadership styles.
That sounds really challenging.
It is. But there's good news. DisasterWise says that leaders are made, not born.
Okay.
So while some people might have, like, a natural inclination towards leadership, those core competencies, you can learn those.
Okay. So what are those core competencies? What do they say?
Well, they highlight four key areas. And this is based on the insights from a Harvard Business School professor.
Wow.
So, it's legit.
Okay, I'm listening.
The four areas are humility, generosity, curiosity, and transparency.
All right, let's break those down one by one. Starting with humility. What does that even look like in action, especially, in disaster management?
Well, think about it. I mean, no single person can be an expert in everything,
Right.
especially in a disaster situation.
Definitely not.
So humility is really about recognizing your limitations, being willing to tap into the expertise of your whole team.
So realizing that you don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Okay. What about generosity? How does that fit into this whole leadership thing?
Well, I mean, you're working with all these incredibly skilled and passionate individuals.
Right.
People are there because they really want to help.
Right.
So generosity becomes really crucial. It's about recognizing that success is a team effort
Yeah.
and giving credit where it's due.
Celebrating wins together.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've talked about humility, generosity. What about curiosity?
Yeah, curiosity is a big one. Remember, these disaster situations, they are so unpredictable,
Oh, yeah.
constantly throwing curveballs at you.
Right.
So curiosity is about being open to new information, challenging your assumptions, and constantly learning.
And learning from who?
Everyone from, seasoned experts to local communities.
Makes sense. So what about transparency? Why is that so important, especially, during a crisis?
Well, I mean, when lives are on the line, communication is key.
Right.
And transparency is about keeping everyone informed, building trust, fostering that sense of shared purpose.
Okay.
So it's about being upfront about what you know, what you don't know, and what you're doing to address the situation.
So these four competencies, humility, generosity, curiosity, transparency, they're not just buzzwords.
No.
They're really like the foundation for effective leadership, especially in something as complex as disaster management.
Definitely. And, DisasterWise doesn't stop there. They go beyond these core competencies and they outline practical skills that leaders can use to actually navigate these challenges.
Okay, so what are some of those? Like,
Yeah.
what does DisasterWise recommend?
Well, one of the first things they talk about is creating space. And what they mean by that is carving out time to actually think strategically and plan.
Yeah, I can imagine that's tough when you're in the middle of a crisis and there are all these urgent needs.
Oh, absolutely. But the source says that one of the best ways to do that is through delegation.
Okay.
It's about empowering your team, trusting them to handle those day-to-day things so that you can kind of step back and focus on the bigger picture.
That makes sense. And speaking of the bigger picture,
Yeah.
DisasterWise also talks about staying grounded. In fact, there's a line in here that says, the longer the interval between field visits, the more your credibility will be eroded.
It's so easy to get caught up in, the logistics and the coordination back at headquarters.
Yeah.
But the source makes a really strong case that effective leaders, they need to get out in the field regularly, see this operation firsthand, talk to the people who are affected by the disaster.
Yeah.
It's about ground truthing the information that you're getting and really understanding the challenges on the ground.
And I imagine those field visits are also really important for building relationships with the local communities and the partners that you're working with.
Oh, absolutely. It shows that you're not just this remote figure making decisions from afar, but you're actually there with them,
Right.
working towards that shared goal. And speaking of working together, the source also highlights the importance of running really efficient and effective meetings.
Which, in the middle of a disaster response, can't be easy.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, things are changing so rapidly,
Right.
but meetings are essential for communication, for coordination, for decision making.
Right.
It's about making sure that everyone's on the same page. The information is flowing freely. Decisions are being made quickly and transparently.
So it's not just about, having meetings for the sake of having meetings. It's about making them actually productive.
Exactly. Nobody wants to be stuck in, endless, pointless meetings, especially when time is so precious.
Right. And alongside those formal meetings, DisasterWise also says that building and maintaining informal networks is really key.
Yeah.
So those sort of behind-the-scenes conversations,
Yeah.
the relationships that happen organically.
Precisely. It's about, cultivating trust and rapport with all those key individuals and organizations. Because sometimes, those quiet conversations, those are the ones that can be really powerful when you need to persuade someone to take on a tough task or explore new ways of collaborating.
It sounds like, diplomacy and relationship building are just as important as the more technical aspects of the job.
Absolutely. And you know, this also ties into another point that DisasterWise makes, which is the importance of being inclusive.
Okay.
They talk about reaching out to even the smallest groups in civil society and making sure that they have a voice in the response effort.
That's so important.
It is, because at the end of the day, it's those local communities that are the most affected by the disaster.
Right.
So their insights and their experiences, those are invaluable for, you know, making sure that the response is actually effective and equitable.
Yeah, everyone's needs should be considered, not just, you know, the biggest or the loudest organizations.
Exactly. And finally, DisasterWise brings it back to communication.
Okay.
Proactive and consistent communication, using every available channel to keep everyone informed and connected.
They even give the example of the Hurricane Maria response in Dominica. I think they said it was managed almost entirely through WhatsApp.
Yeah, you know, it just goes to show that leaders need to adapt and use whatever tools are available to reach people.
Right.
It's about anticipating information needs, staying ahead of the curve, and leveraging technology.
So it seems like communication is really the thread that ties all these leadership skills together.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Clear, honest, and frequent communication. That's what builds trust. That's what allows for collaboration and effective decision making, especially in, you know, this kind of high stakes environment of international disaster response.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
You know, everything from vision and delegation to practical skills like running effective meetings and building networks. And it's clear that, you know, leading in this field of disaster management, it requires this really unique blend of strategic thinking and operational know-how and interpersonal finesse.
Yeah, it's definitely not an easy job.
Right.
But, you know, as DisasterWise reminds us, leadership is a skill that you can develop.
Right.
A craft that you can master through experience, through reflection, through continuous learning.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to go back to something that DisasterWise mentioned briefly. Hmm. They describe international disaster management as an exercise in managing a series of professional culture clashes.
Yeah.
It sounds like a whole other layer of complexity.
It is. It really is. Just imagine you've got people coming together from all these different countries and organizations, huh? Each with their own ways of working, their own ways of communicating, mm-hmm. even their own ways of perceiving time.
Right.
And in a crisis, those cultural differences, they can become magnified, and yeah. that can lead to misunderstandings, to conflicts, and ultimately, you know, hinder the effectiveness of the whole response.
So how do leaders even begin to navigate that kind of complexity? What can they do to bridge those cultural divides and create a truly cohesive team?
It's tough, you know. DisasterWise doesn't really give like a step-by-step guide for this.
Right.
But they do emphasize that cultural sensitivity and adaptability, those are super important.
Okay.
You know, leaders have to be aware of their own biases,
right.
like those assumptions that we all have,
yeah.
and be open to learning about and respecting other people's perspectives.
That's like taking that humility thing even further.
Yeah.
Because I guess, like, there's no one right way to do things.
No, not at all.
What works in one culture might totally flop in another.
Yeah, and that's why leaders in this field really need to be flexible.
Yeah.
It's about creating this environment of mutual respect,
well,
where everyone feels comfortable sharing their ideas, even if they're different.
Yeah.
And communication, that's key, you know?
Right.
Like, think about using translators, maybe visual aids, or just taking the time to really listen.
Right.
And make sure that everybody understands each other.
So it's combining that self-awareness, empathy, and good communication.
Exactly. Those are all essential skills for any leader, but they're even more important when you're coordinating a response across different countries.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that ability to bridge those cultural differences and create a sense of purpose, that can really make or break things.
Wow, it's amazing to see how all these insights from DisasterWise and these different experts all come together.
Yeah.
We've got the core competencies, practical skills, and now this whole cultural awareness thing.
It's a lot.
It is. But now you have a better idea of what it takes to be a leader in this field.
You're well on your way.
But before we go, we always like to leave you with something to think about.
Oh, yes.
A little something to spark your curiosity.
I like it.
So here's a question for you. Imagine you're leading a team after an international disaster.
Okay.
Your team is full of people from all over the world, different cultures.
Yeah.
What would you do to bridge those cultural gaps and build that shared sense of purpose?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right. It's something to think about.
Oh.
It applies whether you're leading first responders, coordinating relief efforts, or even just working with people from different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Being able to handle those cultural differences is a super valuable skill no matter what.
Couldn't agree more.
It helps us build stronger teams, make better decisions, and honestly, create a better world.
Well said.
So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep leading. Until next time, dive deep.